through a couple of things here, just to kind of a revelation understanding of why scholars believe that this is Jesus. I personally believe it is. I believe it is Christ himself who comes back, because when, remember what was this spoken by the angel who was by the guys there when Jesus left into the sky, they were all standing around, and there was a bunch of witnesses, like 500 witnesses that watched that happen. And the angel said, they were standing there looking in the sky, and the angel said to him, why, because Jesus had left, and they're going, why are you looking in the sky? And they're like, and the answer was, he's returning the same way he left, right? So he was already spoken that he would be risen, resurrected, and go to be at the right hand of the Father, right? So that was spoken through the prophet. So they should know that that's what was happening. And the angel said, he's gone on into the clouds, and here we'll find out that Jesus is returning with clothed in the clouds, right? So that's kind of a picture that was put together. He's coming back the same way he left. And then, and so we can see different things that was spoken through the prophets. And the reality is this, is that when we look at the passages of Scripture about prophecy, that Jesus is coming back, right? He prophesied in the Old Testament that he was coming, and everybody missed the signs. The Jews missed the signs. In fact, they still miss the signs. There's Messianic Jews that got it, but most of the Jewish Orthodox Church believes that he hasn't come yet, right? But the reality is he did come, and the New Testament is full of him coming and witnesses that seen it. And the miracles that happened that prove it. So we see that the prophetic in the Old Testament was pointing to Jesus' coming. Now, we're in this element of the church age, and what we're looking to now is the second coming of Christ, right? And so we look at this letter, and in fact, this is a series that I'm doing in Revelation, if you haven't been here, but this letter from Jesus is to you and me. It's a prophetic word from God of his return and what's going to happen. And the judgment on the second time, in fact, the Bible says if you're in right standing with God, you don't have to fear the second death, right? Because there is none for you as believers, right? But as those that haven't come to know Jesus, they need to be very aware this is not a good thing for them to be rejecting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and a lot of people are. I believe there's a majority of people on planet Earth. In fact, the Bible says the path to heaven is narrow and few will find it. And then in that same passage, it says the path to hell is wide and many will enter there. Right? So this relationship between us and God is an amazing thing. And I'm so thankful, and you should be too, that God came into your life, whatever it took, to touch your heart so your eyes could be open and you could see. Because you were once lost and you were blind, but now you see. And man, what a thankful heart we should have to know that truth. Because those that don't know that truth will be coming into judgment one day. And it's not just the ones that will be alive on the earth, but all those who rejected him from time began. That when time began, clear up until the end of this earth age, until God rebuilds it, all those folks that have been on planet earth and was alive and was born will stand before their maker one day. And there's only one thing that we got in our favor, and that is Jesus. That's it. Because it's not works. You can't work your way to heaven. You can never be good enough. But you can accept Christ as your Savior and Lord and live in a righteous stand before him. And that's what makes the difference. And your sinning nature will be less as you get to know him more. Because you'll not want to do those things. And your heart's changed. And so what we need to understand is the day will come when people will see this happen. We are not going to be here at this point. When this is going on as believers, those that have accepted Christ as their Savior and have been born again, we actually will not be under judgment. And the Bible is very clear about that, that we aren't created for wrath. So in this time, we will be safe with the Lord. And we went through that a couple weeks ago. But here, this outpouring is happening. And this, in the message, is so rich here for understanding as those who understand it and have eyes to see. Remember when we went through the churches and Jesus said, when he was speaking to the, given this letter to the churches, he said, for those who have eyes to see or ears to hear, let them see and let them hear. Well, this is just a passage for us, and you're only going to understand this if you're a believer. Those that aren't a believer won't get this at all. They'll go, makes no sense to me at all. But as a believer, he gives us understanding. So I'm going to break it down a bit for you. Of course, last week we were at the jam, so we missed a week, but the week before that, we were in Revelation 9, and my message title then was, soften your heart before it's too late. Soften your heart. Stop being prideful, because in verse 20 in the last chapter, it said there that that these people didn't repent. So all of the people that were on earth at that point in time were rebellious against God, and they weren't repenting. In fact, they were knew God was the one that was doing it, and they were mad at him. But he was pouring out judgment. And there's a lot of people that are mad at God. Maybe some of you in this room might be mad at God because of something that he allowed to happen to you. Maybe some of you were treated inappropriately as a child. Or maybe along the way there was lots of dysfunction in your family and you weren't loved. And there's all kinds of things that probably happened in your life that make you want to say, where was God? Where was he when all this was happening? And he was there. He was there. He was with you. It's a spiritual understanding that once we're aware and born again, we gravitate toward the spiritual of knowing God is present. He's in this room at this moment, touching hearts and minds. As I speak to you through this passage of Scripture, there's things in your heart that's going to grab a hold of some words or a word or two. And when that happens, you guys got to know who that is talking. It's not Pastor Dave. It's the Holy Spirit speaking to you to soften your heart, to receive what he has for you. And forgiveness comes when we step back and say, yes, Lord, I need more of you and less of me. And so those that have a non-repentant heart, they did not repent, judgment will fall. And so in this passage of Scripture, we see that in that last passage of Scripture, we've seen that woe to the earth is what the angel said. And the first woe had passed. There was two woes left. When God says woe, he's not kidding. It's like woe. It's like woe. So talked about that. And because of their non-repentance, the rest of this judgment will fall. So then John is here now, and he's in this vision state where he's getting this letter from Jesus. And we're in chapter 10, and I'm going to kick it off there. And I've entitled this one, The Bittersweet Truth. The Bittersweet Truth. And just to set the stage a bit before we get in there, I want you to see here that the truth of salvation through Jesus is a very sweet thing. And I said that earlier. It's a beautiful thing to be aware that you are a believer and you're saved and sanctified. That is sweet. That's a great feeling of peace that passes all understanding, that no, it doesn't matter what happens on this earth. When I'm right standing with God, I'm good, right? That's a great thing. And then there's the bitter side of things, to know that judgment is going to fall on planet Earth, and it's sad to know that people are going to suffer and die without Jesus. And the point for us is that we get a soft enough heart to be aware of it, so we're excited about sharing that truth. But here's the deal. In this world that we live in, we're kind of timid about sharing the gospel message because of the past situations that have been going on and how God has meant, you know, he's just looked at, I mean, even movies today, it's like Christians are looked out to be really strange dudes. You know, they're tweaky. You know, and so we don't want to be tweaky or weird, so we're very careful about how we respond to others in the world, because we don't want to turn them off. And that's good, But there's a fine line in all that. If you're so careful about being a Christian and not hurting someone's feelings or getting them, you know, to think that Christianity is weird, because the Bible says very clearly, as believers, we should not be ashamed of the gospel. But if we're ashamed of the gospel, we're going to be timid and we're not going to share that love of Christ. And so it's how we do it. Dan Starner, you guys all know, he's our evangelist here at the church and also an elder. But when he goes to talk to people, he does it in the love of God. It's not in condemnation, but it's in love of Jesus, that he loves you so much that he cares for you and he woos you into his love and care. And that's what God wants us to do. But we can't be timid. We can't be shy. And we can't be afraid of the gospel. The gospel message is Jesus died on the cross for your sins, and you need to accept him, or you're going to fall into judgment, and everyone will stand before the Lord one day and give an account for their time here on earth. And that means from the day you were born up through the day you die. And if you haven't accepted Christ, that on that day that you die, that your spirit goes on to be, we're in that place that God has for those that either accept him or didn't accept him, then your fate is sealed. And that's why it's so important. I go to the hospital and I'm with people, and if they haven't accepted Christ, man, I want them to have that opportunity before they pass, that they would know and that they would ask Jesus into their lives, because, boy, it's important. And so let's kick it off. Let's jump in there. The bittersweet truth. Chapter 10, verse 1. It says, I saw another strong angel coming down out of heaven, clothed with a cloud. And there's this kind of a sign there, clothed with a cloud. He's going to come in the clouds just like he left. And the rainbow was upon his head. And so that is the sign of remember God left the rainbow? He said that he would never destroy the earth with water again. And then that was a promise to those who knew and seen God's plan, that he would cover them and let them have a sign that this is God and that he will protect you if you come underneath his covering, underneath that covering. And so the rainbow was upon his head, and his face was like the sun, and his feet was pillars of fire. So there's so many things in there that you can do a study on, and I could go through it. It would take a long time. But do your scholarly work. Dive in and do some study on your own. I mean, there's Google, for Pete's sake. You can like correlate and connect and do Bible studies for hours. And Joey does. She goes in there, I mean, and literally digs into these passages and just dives into it. I'm not that deep. I'm pretty shallow, actually, but I get it pretty quick. You know, it's like, and I have faith to believe it because it says it. So I don't need to have all this proof, you know. So I go, well, that's what it says. It works for me. But do the study, because if you don't believe it for yourself, you need to, right? There's things that you need to believe with all your heart and not take somebody else's word for it. Don't take my word for it, right? I could be wrong. I'm not, but I could be, right? And he had his hand, he had in his hand a little book, which was open. And so this big angelic host who come down had this book in his hand, but it was a little one. And this is what John's seeing, this vision, which was open. And he placed his right foot on the sea and his left foot on the land. So basically it's saying that God is in control of the whole earth. And he is. And he cried out with a loud voice, as when a lion roars. And who is the lion? He's the lion and the lamb. He's a powerful, almighty God, and he's also just soft and loving as a lamb. And he cried out with a loud voice, as when a lion roars. And when he had cried out, the seven peals of thunder uttered their voices. And when the seven peals of thunder had spoken, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying, seal up the things which the seven peals of thunder have spoken, and do not write them. Interesting passage of Scripture. I think it's very interesting that God doesn't want us to know this for this season of time. But we're going to know it when it happens. So he didn't want it to write it down. And the angel whom I saw standing on the sea and on the land lifted up his right hand to heaven and swore by him who lives forever and ever, who created heaven and the things in it, and the earth and the things in it, and the sea and the things in it, that there will be delay no longer. Should circle that right there. You need to understand, God is patient and kind and loving, and he loves his people, and he wants no one, not one soul on this planet to perish. You know, people go, why would a loving God send people to hell? And it's stupidity that makes a person say that, because they just don't know. Reality is, God doesn't want any of us to go there. In fact, he's done everything to keep us. You are the one that chooses to go yourself. It's not him, it's you. It's your own personal walk, and you can't blame anybody. You can't blame this on nobody. And when you stand before God one day, who are you going to blame? When you're standing there giving an account for what you've done, you're going to blame God, or you're going to be mad at God? Well, they did. Right? All these people who rebelled against God had a hard heart, and they're here on earth at this time, and they're shaking their fist at heaven. And they choose not to humble themselves and repent. The Bible says for us to come to him as a child. Right? We got to get rid of our stinking pride, because we're not all that. Guys, we are nothing without Jesus. Absolutely nothing. With him, we're everything. Without him, nothing. With him, you guys have probably seen that movie. With him, we're good. Without him, no good. So it is a matter of a heart condition. And what's keeping us from being all we can be for the Lord? What stops you from participating in being all you can be for God? And you go, well, what does that look like? What does that mean? Well, we throw all these anxiety pressures on ourselves. It's not that hard. It's a simple act of faith and dropping your pride and humble yourself before your King, the God who made you, and just simply come before him in repentance and say, God, I need you. How hard is that? Well, for some people, it's pretty darn hard. And I can remember that day. Can you? I can remember before I really surrendered to God how difficult it was for me to say, I surrender. I mean, even in worship, the Holy Spirit was saying, Dave, I want you to worship me. I'm your God. I love you. Why won't you surrender and worship me? And I said, okay, God. And I lifted my hands about this high, because I love you, Lord. I'm being obedient. Here they are, Lord. I'm surrendered. And he's going, yeah, just a little bit more. Right? Until I just couldn't. I mean, my heart was heavy. I just said, okay. How many of you guys been there? How many of you maybe are there now? Having a hard time just going, God, I love you with all that I am. I don't care what anybody thinks. I just am a Jesus freak right now. Right? I love you, Lord. I surrender. I worship you with all that I am. Or in worship, are you still? All I know is when the connection I had when I got that place where I'm good, I don't care, I just want to worship you, Lord. There was a connection spiritually that took place that I love. I love that place. And hey, if you're too proud to do it in front of people, then go out in the woods and do it all by yourself. Nobody's looking there. So if nobody's looking there, what keeps you from doing it? Because I'll tell you, until you get to that surrender point, there's something still inside you that's got some pride hanging on, and you're not surrendered. Right? You're not there yet. It's time to go, I don't care what people think. I care what you think, God. And I'm going to worship you with all that I am. Because I love you and I know you love me. And so, there will be delay no longer. And listen, I could preach on this for hours. You know how much God loves you? I can't imagine why he hasn't come yet. I mean, it's pretty sick out there, right? But then I stop and think, what about that one that would accept you and they wouldn't have to go in to that place of torment? What, just one? Wouldn't it be worth it to delay just a little bit longer? But here's the deal. Christians aren't sharing the gospel message quick enough, because here's the thing I think. If we would get off our blessed assurance and get on with the work that God's put us on and share with those that are need to be shared with, then God can come. Because there's still people there that need to hear. Because there's going to be people that won't hear. Right? And you'll figure that out fairly quickly. They refuse and they will have nothing to do with God. You know what the Bible says? Wipe your feet of that and go on to the next one. And you just keep doing that. Just keep pressing, keep talking. And here's the cool thing. When you get that one person that you can pray with, and they say the prayer out of their own mouth with tears coming down their face and accept Christ, it's worth it all. All of it is worth it. Has anybody ever had that happen? Got to witness to somebody and they accept Christ? It's an amazing thing. And my heart just leaps. My spirit heart leaps. And I know that the Lord's happy. And so if we would get busy and start living a life that's, instead of so caught up in our own little package and busyness of life, that we don't step out of our world enough to just to have a heart for somebody else's world and share Jesus with them. Just be you. You don't have to be nothing but you. Just be who you are and share Jesus with them. No matter how difficult, you'll be surprised. You really will. You'll be surprised some of the responses you get. And so we see that there'll be a delay no longer. So it's over. The delay is done. Once this little book is dealt with, and what he's talking about is the bittersweet here. Let's go on. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, another one here is seven, the number of completion. The number seven is the number of completion. It's all through the Bible. And the seventh angel, when he is about to sound, then the mystery of God is finished. As he preached to his servants, the prophets. And you guys know this? Every single one of the prophets were killed for prophesying Jesus. Every one of them. They were martyred along the way. And so, then the voice which I heard from heaven, I heard again speaking with me and saying, go take the book which is open in the hand of the angel and stand on the sea and on the land. So I went to the angel, telling him to give me the little book. And he said to me, take it and eat it. You guys, to me, this is what it's speaking to God's people. This is the little book. And you better be devouring this thing. Spiritually, you better understand what's in here. And you better just blow the dust off that baby and start reading it. Because it's important. Everything in it, every word in here is very important. And we need to get in there and devour this thing. Start studying it. Start understanding. Ask God for revelation and he will pour it into you and you will get it. Right? Without God, you're not going to get this. But with God, you're going to get it all. And it's very important to understand. And so he says, he wants you to eat it. And so I went to the angel telling him to give me the book. And he said to me, take it and eat it. It will make your stomach bitter. But in your mouth, it will be sweet as honey. Okay, so what it's saying is is the reality of this understanding is the bitterness is that you see the judgment. And that's sad. It's sad to see people not get the truth of Jesus. But the sweetness is there's some that do. And so I took the little book out of the angel's hand and I ate it. And my mouth, it was sweet. And in my mouth, it was sweet. So as I read this, the word is sweet. The forgiveness is sweet. Salvation is sweet. 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 Sweet as honey. And when I had eaten it, my stomach was made bitter. Here's why. Because when you read the Bible, the clarity of salvation and judgment, there's a heaven and there's a hell. There is, and we're spiritual beings. God created us to live forever. Right? That was never taken away. Some people say, well, when you die, that's the hell part. You'll just die, you're dead. No, it's not. God created us to live for eternity, and we're going to live for eternity somewhere. Very, very clear. There's no question about it. You study it for yourself. Don't take my word. Study it for yourself. And that's real sweet and very bitter. That's the message here. And the problem is we don't capture this understanding in the Spirit. If you could capture it, it would capture your attention and you'd be aware of how important it is to know Jesus. Because it's very bitter not to know him and not to accept him. So it's very bitter, the book. And they said to me, you must prophesy again concerning many peoples and nation and tongues and kings. And so the prophecy was what? Jesus is coming and he's coming in judgment. And he will pour out wrath on earth. And it's coming. Jesus is coming. And when he comes the second time, he's not coming as the lamb people. He's coming as the word says, a lion. And he is not happy when he comes the second time. Because why? Because people rejected him outright, raising their fist and saying, no, no, I do not want you, God. And they're mad at him. And so, if you're angry with the Lord, why? Deception. Really, that's it. You're being deceived by the enemy. And he's deceiving many people. Because we're not able to see. We can't see the love and kindness of the Father we're not able to understand. And why we can't understand is because we haven't opened our hearts and quieted ourselves to become humble before him so that we can receive. And the truth will set you free. The truth sets you free. And the truth is, God loves you so much. He died for you. He did everything for you he could possibly do so that you'll get this truth. And so the message repeats, 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 repeats from the beginning of the Bible to the end of the Bible. It's over and over, and it's repetitive, and it's repetitive, and it's repetitive. And the reason why it's repetitive is so that we would get it. When the Lord repeats himself, do you think it's because he's stuttering? No, he wants to get your attention. Truly, truly, I say to you, Jesus said, truly. Why? Because it's the truth. And it's a loving truth. How many of you guys know people that don't know the truth? They're rebelling against God, outright rebelling against him. Living a life of pleasure unto themselves and not repenting and coming into a loving relationship with their king. Lots, lots and lots. And so we need to show that truth. So the other part of this sweetness that God gave us is that we can always come back and remember what the Lord done. So he gave us a picture, right? It was just simply something we could put our hands to and that we could remember. Because usually, I don't know about you, but until I put my own hands to it, it's like a computer. You could sit there with me and I'll be standing by you on the computer and you're going, yeah, Dave, this is how it works, right? You see that icon? Yep, just go right there and press this and that and all these things will happen. And I'm going, yeah. And I'll go sit at the chair, right? And how did you do that again? Right? Have you been there? You know what I'm talking about? Until I put my own fingers to it, you know, I can't really make it all happen. It doesn't all come together for me. So, and Jesus knew that about us, right? He knew that. That we're like that. That's like if we don't really have something physically that we can do to remember, that we won't remember. And so he said, here's something I'm going to show you, disciples. I'm going to give you this bread. This is a bread. It's a picture of my body that was broken for you. Now this is a time when that he was very, very intent on his disciples understanding this truth. And he said, this bread is my body that was broken for you. And if you guys remember, have you ever watched The Passion of Christ? You guys all watch that movie? That's about as real as it gets. They ripped him to shreds. Ripped him. And laughed while they did it. Sad picture of Jesus, their loving father, ripping him apart. Ripping him to pieces. And then nailing him on a cross. And laughing all the way. So he says, this picture of my body was broken for you. You know, he didn't have to do it for you. He did it out of pure love. He took those stripes on his back for me and for you. And his blood poured out of his body for you and me. And he says, when you partake of this, do it in remembrance of me and why I did it for you. It was out of pure love. Because there had to be a sacrifice for your and my sin. The sacrificial lamb. There's where he came as a lamb to be slaughtered. But when he's coming back next time, guys, it's not going to be like this. He's already done that. But I want to remember, don't you? I want to remember that and I want to keep it close to my heart. That I would never forget what a loving, kind God I have who did that for me. And I know he would have done it just for me. You know, he told me that specifically. I did this for you, Dave, for you. I remember going through my thought life when he was calling me into the ministry and away from the business world. And I remember fighting that feeling of letting everything go and just pour myself into God. It was a battle. It was a battle in the flesh. And I remember him giving me the picture of what he did so that I could live and proclaim his goodness. And it broke me. It still does. As I think about it really deeply and I capture it for what it really is, and I understand it with my heart, and my spirit connects. Do you know how sad he is when people are going to die and be lost? It hurts him. But he's a just God, and he's warned everyone. And so please understand, when you take communion, it's a reminder for us and how thankful you should be to be able to do it. And you can't, you're not going to be perfect, guys, if you think, no, I can't take communion because I still got sin in my life. Well, the reason why we do it is so that we can recognize we do have sin in our life and we need to be covered once again. And we ask for repentance. He said, when you do this and remember and get of me and get your heart right once again. And so, guys, if you want to bring that up, we look at the passage of Scripture and we can see what God has done And then he's given us a hands-on reminder of all that he's done for us and the importance of why we take communion. Excuse me. And so we want to come with a right heart. And if you need to repent, hey, best time in the world to do it. You know, before we come up, we'll take a moment. Whenever you're ready, you can come up and partake. And if there's intentional sin in your life, you're going to need God to help you stop it. Right? If there's intentional sin, and what I mean by intentional sin is that you're doing it out of habit and you know it's wrong, but you do it anyway. Right? That's intentional sin. I know I'm not supposed to do this, but my flesh is going to do it anyway. What that's doing is saying, no, God, I'm going to do my own thing. Right? So if there's intentional sin, and there is, trust me, I know. I've bounced across this bridge many times myself. And it's a process. And God helps us along the way. But until you humble yourself and say, God, I need you, and I can't do this on my own, that's the first step. It's going, I can't do it. I need you, God. I can't make it. And so he comes and helps. And I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for God's help, let me tell you. And neither would you. So if there's intentional sin and God's putting it on your heart right now, oh, man, I haven't stopped this, even though I know God's told me to. I haven't done it yet. Lord, I come and lay it at your feet once again. Forgive me for not. And help me once again. And he will be glad to do that. And then you'll go through the process, and maybe you'll get over that one, and then he'll give you another one. That's the cool thing about God. Just about the time you think you got her together, he'll go, oops. And then you get to work on another one. So while you're working on your relationship, that's why this is a faith walk before God. He's done it for you already. Now he's just teaching you how to be a disciple, a disciplined one. That's what disciple means, a disciplined one. So let's just have a moment of prayer. I'm going to pray over the cup and the bread, and then we'll have some music. You guys get yourselves right before the Lord, and then come and partake. So, Father, we love you. We thank you for this beautiful morning that you've created for us. Lord, once again, our spirits come alive and knowing that salvation is so sweet, Lord, and we're so thankful for that. And, God, we want to come to the table once again with a right heart. And Lord, I pray over every sin, God, we've committed, knowing that you've covered them already. But Lord, we need to understand that we have to come into right standing before you, and we can't have intentional things going on in our life when you've called us to a higher place. And so we ask, God, that you would help us with all those things that are going on right before you. Lord, we come at your feet. We come to the cross. We come to the altar and say, God, forgive us. And you're so faithful to do so. And so, Lord, as we put those before you, God, we come with a right heart. We do this in remembrance, Lord, your body that was broken. Lord, we pray over that bread because it was your body that was shredded for us, Lord. And we pray over the cup. The cup is a representation of the blood that was shed on the cross for us as well. And, Lord, we ask God a blessing for our time, that each heart would leave here free and not condemned, Lord, but saved. So we love you. We thank you for it, Lord. So bless the cup, bless the bread, and have your way with us. In Jesus' name. Well, now that you guys are all cleaned up and fresh, redeemed, feel good. Good to reflect sometimes, isn't it? Good to know our King loves us. So here's the deal. You guys all know it's not about us, don't you? It's about all God's people. All of them. So there's folks out there that need to just hear that truth. And I know it's bittersweet. You know, there's a lot of bittersweetness in this thing that God's doing. But he captured our hearts and he gives us the truth, and the truth set us free. Now there's those that we need to share that with, no matter how difficult that may be for you. But if they reject you, they're rejecting God. And every ear needs to hear. Everyone needs to know. And it's our job. He says, go, therefore, to all the world and proclaim the gospel message. And that was his mandate for his people, for those that know him. Our mandate is to share that. And, you know, God will give you the strength and he'll give you the words. Don't worry about what you're going to say. Just know that that person you need to talk to is somebody that God's placed in your life to share that truth with, and he'll give you the way to do it. It's the only thing you can do is just be obedient. So hopefully this week, God will allow somebody to come in to your life that you can share that message with. And when you do, do it in remembrance of the love of the Father, because he loved you enough to get that message to you. Now you need to just do that for others as well. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thanks for forgiveness. Thanks for us this day that you've created for us, Lord, in this time of just remembrance and through your word, the bittersweet. Lord, we just ask, God, that our sweetness would arise before you, Lord, and that the joy of our salvation would just be so full that, God, we would just have that peace that passes understanding as we move toward the goals of righteousness that you've set before us. Let us be good people, and let us love you deeper today than we did yesterday. It's because we know that you do us, Lord. And so we thank you for all that you're doing. And God, just cover our day. Lord, we pray over our fellowship time and the time with our coffee and cookies. And Lord, let it be rich. Go before us. We bind the enemy in his tactics to steal, kill, and destroy, knowing that, God, greater are you that lives in us than he that's in the world. So strengthen us and let us proclaim the truth. In Jesus' name, amen.